Hey,
everybody. Good evening, everybody. I am Denise, and
this is April, and we are
Diversity and Equity in Education, and we're back. It's the first session that we have for the year of 2026. And we are just glad and blessed and happy to be here. Listen, we moving forward. We're officially moving forward with our year. We're just grateful. We want to give a quick little shout out to April. Hey, happy birthday, April. April welcomes in the year. Every year, you know how those Capricorns are. They end the year and they begin the year. Okay, so them some special people. I, of course, burn like the sun. I'm July, and which I am a Leo, and of course, so this a combination right here ain't no joke, okay? So anyway, so again, we're coming back fresh off of our semester break. Winter break, and now we are going to jump right in. So we had a nice little refresh and reset over the winter break, but we're jumping right back in. So let's talk a little bit about semester two, which is all about consistency and momentum. Go ahead, April.
So we know we're just coming, like Denise said, excuse me, happy new year, everyone, because again, we haven't spoken to you all since last year. So happy new year, happy new year. We hope you all set you some goals and take great efforts to, or make great efforts to accomplish those goals. We know it can be hard with that, I'm going to eat better, I'm going to stop drinking sodas, and then by February, we already, they fell back into the same trends. That would be me. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, don't beat yourself up too much, especially when you are double digits and you've reached, more than a quarter of I'm going to leave that age part alone.
And you're half a century at this point in time.
Look, don't beat yourself up too bad. Wake up every day with a new beginning, trying to chip away at those goals. But yes, we are in the second semester, and that means, parents, we are halfway through the school year. So if you didn't know it, now you know it. We just wrapped up the second quarter. Excuse me. Our scholars should be prepared to have their report cards available on the 20th. So that would be this upcoming Tuesday when we return. Now, we know there could be some possible hiccups because we deal with a digital database. It happens until digital reach perfection, and that should never happen, which we would never want it to be perfect, because that means at that point humans don't exist. And that means humans currently integrate, so there will always be some imperfections. So, again, you should have access to your children's grade. And I want to say, I'm speaking from a lens of middle school and high school. Elementary might be already out there. I always lose track with them, but I do know the 20th is what has been projected for middle school. So with that being said, parents, the book bag should have already come cleaned out. Mm-hmm. A refresh start, meaning that the items that's in the book bag should, be nice and replenished. And if not, I'm pretty sure if your child attends a Title I school, let's look into it, a Transformation Network school, a Renaissance school, or a high need school, they can easily go and get materials from guidance counselor, social worker, community resource teacher if they have it, so on and so forth. So seek the help, but do not allow the book bags to continue to reek. All right.
Exactly. Febreze is your friend. Clorox wipes are your friends. These are things also that teachers require in the classroom, not just that you need to do that for your child, but also that those are very important. Also, when it comes to school uniforms, your children do something very interesting, and that's called grow. Your children do grow. So the uniform that may start off at the beginning of the school year, they need to have those replaced as well. So just remember, your child is a growing human being. And so the shoes that fit last year don't fit this year. You have to continue to buy pants, continue to buy shirts. So we just encourage you to just remember that. And also, because of global warming, some people don't believe it's true. Yes, Florida does get cold. As a matter of fact, April and I recently posted in the Panhandle, it is snowing right now. So
I want to cut y'all, but I wish it would just spread a little bit, because if it's gonna be cold in the Tampa, doggone, we need a little few flakes, just a few flakes.
Just a few flakes. No, you keep them flakes. I want to see them flakes when I'm on vacation. I don't want to see them here. I want to see them. I want to go someplace and experience them flakes, roll around them flakes a little bit. No, no, no. But I'm just saying, parents, yes, because of that, you have to make sure you purchase coats. You purchase, you know, not blankets, because they can't walk around blankets. Remember, that's a liability. If a child slip and fall on the blanket, they, you know, imagine what happens in a hallway. So keep remembering. Get jackets, coats, gloves. We are trying to, we're on a campaign right now where we're trying to raise, just get gloves for girls, okay? So for both of our groups. So please, you know, just try to remember the weather will change. And it looks like going into the future now, this weather is not cute like it was before. This cold is sticking. When we left for church in the morning, it was okay. When we came out of church,
it was like the high 60s touching on 70.
Yeah.
When you came out, it was like, are we back in New Orleans like it did us when we was in New Orleans?
Yes. But not just that, not just that. I said, boy, if your wig was not stapled down, I'm telling you, it would have been gone. I'm just, I'm sorry. That just,
I think K-Law said it best.
Carla said it too.
Carla told me, so make sure you have that wig pulled down.
That wig pulled down real tight.
Because maybe in the wind, like, I was driving and you could feel the wind moving the car. I was like, oh my God, where did this come from? So in a matter of moments, we see exactly how the temperature could shift.
Yes.
And I won't say moments, over a couple of hours. And for us, that feel like moments. Because in Tampa, we're definitely not used to that type of a shift. Now, when it comes to rain and storms, yeah, we used to that. But this new sliding cold front, we're not used to that. Without rain, oh yeah, that was really interesting this morning.
Mm-hmm. Also, too, our infrastructure. This is very interesting. And let's talk about East Tampa for a second. Our infrastructure doesn't seem to withstand that drastic quick drop in temperature too. Because in East Tampa, there's certain neighborhoods that are out of power right now. Okay, I don't know. I haven't got the most recent report, but the power went out once that temperature started dropping. So how is it affecting the lines and the infrastructure and things like that? So pay attention. All these things are interconnected. So, but you know, again, when we return from the break, it is important that we continue our consistency and our momentum in terms of academic, but also parents in terms of behavior. Listen, parents, let's we're going to throw this one in here. We know they were home for 2 weeks. We know they were home. But when they came back in the first week back, we spend those first day reestablishing procedures, reestablishing, you know, reminding them of policies, reminding them of how their behavior should be. Some people came back and it didn't stick. It didn't apply. We are now doing some interesting things. So just remember, this is a place. Schools are a place for learning. Schools are a place for your child to grow and into critical thinking, into people who are willing to process information that adults are telling them. And if you're being disrespectful to the adult who has authority over you within the 8 to 9 hour period that you're at school, I don't know if this was the place for you. So let's just reflect and realize you still have to pay attention. You still have to respect authority. You still have to listen. And then also teachers, I want the teachers to also grow some backbones. I mean, it's important. These are children. These people are children. Yeah, these are not your friends. They're not your little, you know, your besties and buddies and whatever. These are children. Children thrive on structure. Children are supposed to have, they're not going to be your best friends, but they need to have structure so that they can learn. I say you're going to love you all. They love you to death, but they do well when they have structure, and they do well when they realize, oh, wow, there's some procedures in place, and this is the expectation that my teacher has for me, so I need to step my game up. Anything you want to add?
Nope. You said it best for the most part. I just will say this, you know, to our colleagues is that when you don't follow and meet the expectations that's designed for us collectively as the adults or the staff on campus, you make it almost impossible for your colleagues. You make it almost impossible. So if you bend the rooms in your room and you bend the rooms in your hallway, that means that you make it impossible for the child to establish a sense of consistency. So therefore, you are the problem. You're the problem. It's not the child. It's not the child then. You adult are the problem. You. So we cannot hold the children accountable when we cannot hold the adults accountable. And that's just the bottom line. So again, and this is just not to our school. This has happened to all schools. Oh, wow. It's always that few that allow the kids to go outside of, you know, what the expectations are. And then it creates a domino effect because they will clearly say, but in such and such class, they let me.
Uh-huh.
But such and such didn't da 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 da. And then I can do, and it looks bad. It looks really bad. So again, support your colleagues by staying within the guidelines and meeting the expectations for the adults. Because if you do that, then definitely we can make sure that the kids do what they're supposed to do.
Exactly. And administration is more willing to support you if you are then following the established rules of the school. All right. It's because them kids will throw you under the bus. They will throw everybody up because the kids going to just tell, they're going to tell it like it is. Hey, this will happen over here. And so how is admin going to support you if the child telling everybody, but I do this all the time. I walk out all the time. I go here all the time. I do this all the time. So just protect yourself by doing the right thing. That's all we got to say. And then we're going to move on. We do a little, let's talk about things that really impact us on a national scale. And April, go ahead and talk about how that word that they like to slip and fall on is affecting us.
ICE, yeah. So ICE. We just want to take a moment because, you know, we don't get too deep in all those political, you know, spaces that don't necessarily impact education. Now, when it impacts education and our children, not children, our children, Ben, it's time to, you know, kind of slip outside of our zones or our, you know, our lane, as we would say. And I really think that, you know, there is this illusion that all of this is going on as it relates to the increased immigration enforcement that's happening nationwide. And right now there is a microscopic view, excuse me, y'all, for Minnesota. And if we don't think these children that have, you know, these gateways into information, you know, immediate information, aren't paying attention. They are. And I don't believe that the adults are doing a good job at, you know, identifying what emotional, you know, damage is being done or what additional trauma is being, you know, nationally or globally being enforced upon children. Because maybe I missed it. Maybe you know more about it, Nisa. Maybe somebody out there in our good old cyber world or Facebook community or wherever they're watching this at know or have seen conversations around, what about the children? How is this affecting the children? What type of, you know, conversations or spaces are being extended to them to voice? What are their thoughts and how are they feeling about this? These children have, you know, from COVID to this.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
From COVID to this, mm-hmm. And even for COVID, there wasn't a lot of conversation, you know, to say how they felt about, you know, what a lot of them underwent, so many deaths in some of their family. Some of them lost auntie, grandmas, and I mean, you name
a
it,
lot of
whole households. Mm-hmm. And again, there wasn't a lot of conversation around what was the impact, how did they feel, and so on and so forth. This, again, this is another layer of trauma that our children are experiencing. And I mean, you know, we're limited on what we can even discuss on the matter. But again, there needs to be some type of given space to identify how the children are feeling. Because if you go out on social media, them kids got so much ICE stuff going on their pages. And, you know, you just look from the outside in and wondering truly, how are they feeling? How are the children? Denise?
Mm-hmm. The trauma is real because remember you're looking at the fact that, let's just go back a couple of years to COVID, right? And then, because that was like just 6 years ago, right? And then you just have all this, the things that are happening in the news and people being killed and protested and then ICE. And then, and you know, the kids don't say it outwardly, but, or they don't, sometimes they don't tell you directly, but you, if you just sit still enough and just give them a little bit of time while they work in to talk amongst themselves, you'll be amazed. I mean, you'd be amazed at how the kids will tell you that somebody just came and got their family member and they're in school the very next day. Because honestly, the only place that's safe for them is school. At least they know at least the 8-9 hours while I'm at school, because they just snatched up my grandma. They just snatched up my cousin. They snatched up my mom. And I had to get rushed to my uncle's house during the middle of the night to protect me. And I'm in school right now today because And they'll just have those conversations amongst their peers casually. Be quiet and listen to them. And that's, so what kind of trauma are they carrying? Because they know, okay, man, I imagine how stressed out you're going to be when you have to get on the bus. Your bus is going to a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood. Well, what about all of y'all coming off the bus that afternoon? You all are in fear of what's going to happen when you get off the bus. I mean, come on. That's the thing. It's like, how do we have these conversations with our children? And has anybody even thought about saying, let's have a little forum just for them so we could just talk to our kids? Because them kids, they got a lot going on. And no, so not all that manifests. Just like, remember we talked about a couple years ago, and we still talk about it, but a couple years ago we talked about how anger shows up in different forms, like that, or rather hunger shows up in different forms. You know, you might be traumatized by something, but it show up as you fighting everybody in school. You might be hungry, but it show up as you fighting and carrying on. So again, there are underlying reasons why the kids act a certain way. And especially if they're not talking to you, give them a little space of time for them to talk to at least their peers. And then you'll start to understand, try to relate to them a little bit more. I mean, but understand it affects them, and they all have cell phone. Every last one of them have a phone, and they can show you, tell you everything about what's happening right now. So you don't underestimate the fact that just because they're young, they don't know what's going on. They absolutely know what's going on. And a lot of it is very terrifying for them. Anything you want to add?
We have to understand that right now in a lot of our, we as U.S. citizens, let's be clear, I don't even say them, they know, we as U.S. citizens, it can very well happen to us. And those are the types of conversations we have to have. What's the plan if the plan, I am taken into custody for XYZ, these are the organizations and the people that you could possibly reach out to for support. Mm-hmm. One being an attorney on the list. Yeah. Secondly, these are the bank card information. This is what you go. I mean, those are the type of conversations that must be had in order to make sure that, you know, there is a plan in place. Otherwise, you're just stuck. Mm-hmm. Because for me, I am the sole, you know, person of information. I'm the provider. I am this. I'm the go-to person in the family. You know, took on the title as matriarch unknowingly because after my grandmother, you know, passed away and my aunts, it just became me. So I have to be that person. So therefore, what if it happens to me? So those types of conversations have to be in place. So yeah, and in the end, it's so important why schools have to remain a safe space. They have to remain a safe space. To where kids can make sure that there is some, you know, everything, what they consider as predictable in the learning environment, we have to keep those things as predictable. Those anomalies about worrying about ICE coming in, those anomalies about them getting off the bus and being taken into custody, or their parents are there waiting for them being taken into custody, those are things that prevent children from being able to cognitively even be able to think and process, just simply think and process just their day-to-day. Just their day-to-day. So we definitely cannot expect them to be learning with all of that going on. So just something to think about, because in the end, you know, we don't get into the back and forth about who's right, who's wrong. We're about humans. If we treat all humans with respect and decency, regardless of all the other layers of discriminatory areas that people want to take upon themselves to, you know, impose on others, just treat people with human and love them. That's it. Isn't that God the way? All right, drop me a scripture. Come on, get it out there.
Let me tell you something. Hey, look, you got to come, let's see. First of all, come boldly before the throne, but you have to come as children. Humble yourselves like little children, because then you'll be able to receive the knowledge that you need. I am going to move on, because you know what? I got some, but they didn't want to hear that one. But look, just real quick. Also, just remember, these are children. Apparently, y'all love the children so much. They're children. Please understand. Give them a minute to process. A lot of times they just need that processing time before you even pour all that academic into them. They are struggling with a lot of things that if you as an adult realize you never struggle with, you didn't have that fear in your life at all, your entire life. And here you are now at 11, 12, 13 dealing with such fear and trauma. So just give the kids a moment, just let them process. Sometimes they just need a little more. And then it also builds a community within the classroom. And then now you can teach, because sometimes it's amazing what you do when you just have a little bit of outside activities and you can pull so much from those kids. All right. And, just build that community awareness. And speaking of community awareness, what's coming up tomorrow, April? We have Martin Luther King Day Parade. And we got to talk about the parade route, too. Go ahead.
Yeah. So tomorrow is our annual MLK Jr. Parade. It always takes place on, I want to say, the Monday after my birthday. In most cases, it is some little tricky times where it happens the week, but it actually falls on my birthday It happens on tomorrow. It starts at noon. And Denise, what is the route looking like?
First of all, okay. So let's see. All right, the parade. Where does the parade begin? Okay, got all my cameras up. My thing. Parade begins at Cuscaden Park and winds through East Town.
Hold on. Look, she wants to use her phonetics and not remember that she in Tampa. We just
Cuscaden.
There we go. There we go.
Because
we had to stop her. Tampani had to stop her.
First of all, if you phonetically pronounce it, that's how it's pronounced. But anyway, I'm gonna let it go. This is how I'm gonna say it. It's Cuscaden Park for me, Cuscaden Park for y'all.
So that's where you from. Tampa.
From Tampa.
From Tampa natives, that's what we know.
Right. Okay, so it winds through East Tampa, right? All right, so we'll give you some notes. It's a large family-friendly event with floats, bands, and community organizations. Different churches are also in there as well. My church is in there as well. But listen, it's a family-friendly place. Please, leave all of your drama. Leave all of your whatever it is that you're trying to bring, rivalry or whatever. The man whose life we're celebrating, Dr. Martin Luther King, it was about peace and peaceful protesting. Okay, so please, let's not have drama at this parade. Let's not do that, because we want to continue to live in excellence the way he asked us to do. Live in excellence the way your Father in Heaven asked us to do. But perform in excellence. You want to show people that, you know what, we are here for a bigger cause, a better life as we move forward. So just, that's all we want you to do. And of course, bundle up, stay warm, because we know those winds going to be whipping through tomorrow. Just like we felt them when we left church this afternoon, they're going to be whipping. So please dress accordingly and just be respectful of parking places and that the city has laid out for you. Mm-hmm.
So it's so important that you all that live within the community to expect road closures. We know this every year. Expect traffic delays. Plan ahead. Arrive early for those of us that are in the parade, like myself. Parade. We're going into a few. I've been doing this for a few years now. There was some isolated interruptions because, baby, it can be quite burr. And I am committed to the burr tomorrow. But my God, if it rains any type of droplets form, that's when I'm out, because that already put me at a higher risk of, that cold seeping in, triggering that asthma. I've been trying to keep it balanced, staying masked up. So again, tomorrow, plan accordingly. And again, bundle up, because it's going to be cold. And if anyone that is a Hillsborough County Public School teacher, that's a union member, that would like to join us in the walk tomorrow, the kids love to see their teachers, staff in the parade, the same way that we go to the Gasparilla and the big nice floats and that same thing. They would love to see you there as well. So if you're interested in joining, it's gate 3, be there by 10 o'clock a.m. and join us in the walk, and it's a fun experience. So my kids have gotten a taste of it, so they're prepared to go back, and that's how you get them involved in community events and such. So again, do your part and keep us all safe in this space by not bringing foolishness to this commemorative event that we have been hosting in honor of Dr. Martin Luther King.
Exactly. And just keep in mind too, it's not just about, so we talk about why Martin Luther King Day still matters, okay? Let me bring you to some recent history. Why his day still matters? Because we have a current president right now who is closing things like national parks and things like that, not recognizing the impact that this man made in history. Because history, when we call things historical, it only happened a few years ago. For example, Claudette Colvin, who was the first woman to sit down and not get up on the, when the person told her to get up and move to the back of the bus, she just died. Okay, she just died like earlier this week. Okay, so this is not ancient history. This is recent, before Rosa Parks. She was, go ahead.
That's what I wanted to add. So add that. And I'm pretty sure you know the story why Rosa got the recognition, not her. Go ahead and get a recognition.
Rosa got the recognition, one, because she was lighter skinned. Because remember, what was acceptable was a lighter skinned black person. Claudette Colvin was actually 15 years old and pregnant. So she, you know, it wasn't the face that the NAACP wanted to put out there. She was probably a little darker than me. And she was, that was not the image they wanted to put out there. But if when it happened to Rosa, well, they were like, okay, cool, this suits us. But you have to understand, it's not about who brings the message or it's going to affect all of us. All right. It affects every last one of us. People like, for example, who was it? Oh my gosh, who just integrated, the first little girl that just integrated the schools, right? She is still alive. She's the same age as Denzel Washington. And they just integrated, I forgot her name already. But we'll go back. But just the fact that these people are not that old. History is still...
Ruby Bridges.
Ruby Bridges, there we go. Ruby Bridges is still alive. And I think she's almost the same age as Denzel Washington. He's in his 70s, I think, now, right? So you're talking about the fact that history is a living thing. It is constantly moving, but if you start, and these things happened only 50 something years ago, which in fact, where April and I are in our 50s, these are things that happened 50 years ago, not a long time ago. So again, it's really important to understand why if we study our history, we acknowledge these things that happen because they're trying to strip them from us right now. They're trying to strip stuff from museums, strip things from just the history books. They're trying to rewrite the events that happened on January 6th. Are you kidding me? They rewrite them as, okay, they were just peaceful protesting. Are you kidding me? Especially the McGraw-Hill books, they constantly want to rewrite stuff. So please understand that. Oh, and can I put a plug in, personal plug in? This is why it's important to have a library in your house for your children. You must have libraries in your house for your children. You must have, first start off, dictionary, encyclopedia, thesaurus, and an atlas, okay? You got to have something that gives them something about the world. Ask your child pertinent questions like, hey, you know what city you live in? What state you live in? What country you live in? Hey, name me four continents. If they don't have that, put that in your library and then start with history books. Then also add in a lot of books on vocabulary, add in books about nature, add in books about science. Build a small library for your children, because if the history is being stripped from them, you have to make sure that history is provided within your home. Your child have to be armed for whenever, with the critical thinking skills, for when they come and talk to them about some some stuff that they, you know, I would almost slip. But when they start talking to them about some crap, your children should be mentally armed to where they're not just accepting everything that they hear. And this is where the divide is going to be in the future. The divide ain't between rich or poor. The divide is going to be between those who can critically think and those who cannot. You're going to see in your class, you're going to find out those who are the employees and the employers right away. Because if they can't decode and break down just simple text to complex text, is going to be a problem. So I just want to tell you why it is so important that your children understand history is a living. You know, I was going crazy for a second because, you know, I get mad at you. Everybody got an iPad, iPhone, this, you got an Oculus, you got all these technology, and they're ne'er, as they say in the South, ne'er book in the household. Not even a magazine, a pamphlet, a flyer, not even a little paper that them little 7-day Adventists come by and stick in your pants. You ain't even got that.
Oh my God! I fully with you. Look, you have you. Okay, your tangent. You're done.
I'm done.
We're gonna stop right there. So again, parents, just know that education will always be at the forefront and the higher, it should be the highest priority when it comes to our children.
Yes.
And remember, without it, our children are a lost, continue to be a lost people. They just do. We have to do our due diligence in making sure that our children understand the importance of their history and historically how it was intentional by those that were in leadership to erase us as a people. So again, you got to do your part. Correct. They cannot do it themselves and alone. So yeah, so that leads us to parents. We need you all to stay in the know. We need y'all to stay in the know. And yeah, that student calendar, you know, the one that was put out last year in July or June or July, that tells us for the 2025-2026 school year is still there, along with the dates that our students are out. Spring break and so on and so forth. Our next upcoming series of dates, before y'all even get a chance to complain, we got February the 13th off and February the 16th. So that's a 4-day weekend. Stop. That's what they got. Nah. So you got our normal day that we're off to allow children to be able to explore participating in our Hillsborough County Fair. And, no, the Florida State Fair, correction.
The Florida State Fair.
Is president. Yeah, the Monday is the President's Day. So take it up with President's Day. But we always had that one day. So, again, plan accordingly because I'm pretty sure there are some activities already out there in our community. I think, there's an event being hosted by, I can't think of it. I will post it later. But there's a community event that's happening for youth where they're doing end day of service, where they're doing community work and then coming back together collaboratively to talk about things that are impacting or important to youth here in the city of Tallahassee. What is his name? It's on the tip of my tongue, but I can't. Is it Roy?
I can't remember.
But I'll remember to go back and post it underneath this live. So yeah, so we'll put it in the messages. But yeah. So, Denise, let's talk about those other important things that are coming up, like those good old assessments that are happening. Yes,
exactly. So, again, parents, be aware of the fact that we have the progress monitoring assessments coming up. We also have the PM3s, and we also have the benchmark assessments as well. The kids are being pulled off for specific tests, especially for the ESOL kids or the ELLs. They have tests they're being pulled off for. So those are important to remember and just have your kids just read, have them read it. I can't even stress enough. Just 30 minutes to an hour every single day. Read. I mean, things of, even of interest in them, graphic novels, things like that. It helps to keep them fresh, keep that mind going, practicing the math skills. There's so many online programs that are available. Khan Academy is good for that. You've got Flowcabulary. You've got just fun. There's some that's so much fun. The kids don't even know they're learning. All right. So we'll post a whole lot of them too. I keep them on different pages, but just it's very important that you understand it, that we're tracking towards. Remember that the last time we talked about the importance of that PM2 score and how they're basing or resetting the kids based upon the PM2 score. So the higher they score, you know, it's going to be a little easier for them down the line, but the lower they score, it's going to be a lot tougher. So it's so important that they know and stay abreast of everything that's happening when it comes to the upcoming tests. So remember, they're going to take the last progress monitoring test in May, I believe it is. They have some benchmark assessments that they need to take prior to that, but just be aware of that. And then, of course, the eighth graders just recently took their science assessment, I believe it was, and civics is coming up. Right, and civics is coming up too. So just remember that they are, as I said, the testing window has begun. I mean, it's really going to test all year long. But the reason why we do these tests is just to make sure that they're progressing, that they're moving forward. I mean, you know, of course, just like yourself. I mean, you know, how you learn to drive, you have to take a test. The older you get, they might make you test again for your vision, for your hearing, things like that. You are being assessed as you age as well. Don't you go to the doctor for an assessment? Don't you go to the dentist to make sure everything's good with your teeth, with your eyesight? I know me, because these right here, boy, I've had 3 prescription changes over the past 10 years. I'm like, man, I'm getting worse. So I just know that we are being assessed as well. So just think about how it affects our children. Also to remember, one of the things I wanted to make it, First of all, I want to give a great big shout out to my special friend right here. All right. There's the Excellence in Education Award. Is it the other side? I don't know. Excellence Education Award. And my friend April Cobb has been nominated for the Ida S. Baker Diversity Award. And we just want to give her a shout, a clap right here, a round of applause. I mean, and you know, I posted the other day, well, first of all, for her birthday, you know, it says iron sharpens iron so that one person will sharpen the other. It's important to keep around you people who will not only challenge you sometimes, but not only give you good advice, they'll lift you up, but you know, the impact is on each other. So it's important to keep people around you that once they grow, you grow. And you should applaud people like that in your life, because again, God will continue to bless you if you look at other people and say, you know what, I'm happy for them, I want what's best for them, and you know what, it continues to increase and grow in my own life as well. So I just want to say publicly, you know, give a shout out to my friend right here. Hey girl, how you doing?
Thank you. And I want to add, you know, thank you, Denise, for that. Because one thing about you, you know my crazy. You know, yes. My crazy. And you know,
my crazy is your crazy.
and what Erlisha say, through that in a year. Like, girl, we ain't taking no more. We ain't taking no more.
Right.
But long story short, thank you for always, you know, being in that space of it. Because, you know, some people and women, it become very interesting. Like, the jealousy and the mm-hmm. you know, the ill will behind things that they do. And you have always been authentic and genuine in that space. And, again, that's why our friendship continued to evolve to a place. You know, it's always been out of love, and you know, same thing with Ariel and so on and so forth. I don't have a lot of people that I call true friends, because my friends are my sisters. Yeah. So there, you know, there's some on that cuff of, you know, you all right, but you know, y'all are like family. So I appreciate that. And again, you know, we have that same passion and, you know, that same desire to always do what's best for kids. And it's not always, you know, so, you know, chum happy, so on and so forth. Sometimes it's tough love, and parents may not necessarily understand, colleagues may not necessarily understand, and I'm okay with that, because I don't care about being liked. I care about what's best for children. So my focus is always that. And if it gets so busy and convoluted to where it's I can't see that being the end goal, then I'm not doing it.
That's important. And understand. So I think, you know, I think it's part of it is the fact that, you know, when you're raised around people who show you that it's okay to be corrected. It's okay to have a difference of opinion. It's okay to, sometimes you don't always see eye to eye, but because I care, I am going to tell you my opinion about it. Because if I didn't like you, I can let you live right along. Go ahead, fall off the edge of the earth. But if we can disagree and still be, understand and respect each other, that's what you call, that's the development of friendship, you know? And so, like I say, what was the homeboy that said a sign? He said, my circle so small is not a period. There's very few people. And I'm telling you, very few people who can understand that concept, that you don't always have to agree. You don't always have to always be the same. Exactly. You could path, take different paths. You might not talk to each other for a couple of weeks and then come right back and act like you pick up like, wait, where you been? Hey, what's up? How you doing? But that's how you know also that your friendships become mature, you know. So that's my wish for a lot of young women is that they come across older women who can pour into them, and to find younger women they can pour into as well. And that's also to the basis of a lot of our mentorship groups, because we're trying to show girls this is super important, that you know, you can have conversations, you can talk, you can grow, you can be, it's okay to make a mistake, but to also recover from that. And so that's a key thing for us. That's really important. That's what. As I say, if no one read a Bible, right? If a person didn't read a Bible, you want your life to be a reflection of what is in that Bible. You want them to say, okay, you know what? Why is that person so happy? Why can they deal with adversity and pain and suffering? And why can they get through all the things they can get through? Because, you know, they want to see a mature example of that love. So it's important. It's really important. So I just wanted to say that, you know, me, I like to give my little preach on every once in a while. I just got to throw it out there. Okay. Real quick. So let's pop in. Oh, sorry. I'm so sorry. Look, We're looking at moving ahead at talking about our Black History Month series for Sunshine Education Coalition. April, go ahead and talk a little bit about that.
So every year for the past, since COVID, is it now?
Yes. Mm-hmm. 2020, since 2020.
Yep. So right now we're going into our 6th year of the 28 days of something that aligns in supporting the Black History Agenda. I'll reference it as that. And this year, our 28 days is the 28 days of dismantling public education. Mm-hmm. And it's going to be all things and all conversations around how the attack has been so real on public education. And we have to be very mindful that anytime that there's an attack on an organization, an entity, a concept, a thought, or whatever it is, it's always going to impact the Black child even more. That's going to always be the case. And that also goes for Hispanic children as well. So we want to, dive in a little bit deeper. That's what we're going to swerve out our lane a little bit and, put some hyper-focus on what that looks like in the political realm. You know, how it's been, it's no longer the thought process saying that he can't do that. He not able to do that. Mm-hmm. You know, he don't have the power to do that. That man has showed you all every darn thing that you all say he can't do, he has done. Effortlessly. Effortlessly. Mm-hmm. So we all sit around here still talking about what he can't do. Stop saying it. Because it has become clear that those in his general, his makeup of his executive office, I'll just refer to them as those people, they have the same view that he does, which then spirals out to the masses that are in the power positions to make sure that those plans are carried out. So at this point, it is what it is. We have lived through it all as a people. The question becomes, what will it look like for our children overall? What will it look like as it's being dismantled? And it's obvious. We are current Florida. When we are in spaces and individuals say, what do you do for a living? And you say a teacher. And they be like, oh, what state? Florida. And they begin to pray for you. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. Oh, Lord.
Yes. Yes.
It's like.
We experienced that in New Orleans.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like.
In New Orleans.
Why is it that we are in the same profession? It's supposed to be at the hierarchy, seem in the same alignment with lawyers, doctors. And let me not say that because, we have been demoted to
we're not professionals. That's what they say. We're not professional. But it's sad, and you're absolutely right, because when you tell people that, the look on their face is like, I feel so bad for you, because we know that you're the ground zero for everything that they try to change about education. It takes place in Florida, and it's so sad because we're sitting here and we know that. Let me tell you, being a civics teacher, I feel bad for anybody that teaches any kind of U.S. history, civics thing, like, because you're telling the children one thing, but the children can cut on the TV and the internet and see something totally different. I thought there were 3 branches of government. Hell to the no, according to what this man do, he just do whatever he want. But thank God we still have at least some people in some of the federal and the district court judges who are able to say, wait a minute, we respect the Constitution and we know how this is supposed to go, so we're going to kick this right on back to you. Thank God for the judges that have a little bit of backbone and know how to do, because I mean, everything this man has tried to do has tried to destroy the people. And now you're trying to purchase Greenland. Let me tell you something. When Denmark, who, by the way, we got purchased, the United States purchased Virgin Islands from Denmark in way back in 1917, right? But when Denmark, the Danes, who don't cause nobody no problem, them Danes like to sit back and eat cheese and smoke a little green. Them Danes are very happy when the Danes got to get in their plane and send the military to protect Greenland. What is going on here? The Swiss don't care about nothing but was singing in the hills and then running around in the forest. You got the peaceful people acting up? Come on now. Over Greenland? And before I get extra crazy, let me start, because I'm a history buff. Real quick, so what we talk about with this, the stuff, again, You see, I start stuttering. This is what I mean when you, it's hard to be a civics teacher teaching these kids about the truly how government's supposed to go when you see it all the craziness right here. Which leads us to this whole thing about they trying to push these charters into the schools, right? Talk about hope schools now. For those of us that still don't believe these hope schools really are coming, because we had a heated debate, I think sometime around December last year. I'm sorry, but it exists. It is real. It is coming. DeSantis just talked about it just a couple days ago about the hope schools. Again, pay attention. If your administrator is not talking to you about it, maybe they worry about their job. I don't know. That's all I got to say. But it is coming. These schools, and they're pushing in. So parents, what that looks like, a push in, is that they're going to exist in the same space, physical space, with your child, your current child. And then a lot of them are putting all these freebies and gimmies and things to try to encourage your child to switch over to that particular school. But how does that look at within the school? What is that doing for the self-esteem of the child?
So the key thing is co-location. That means that they are housed underneath the same school. So you can have two schools operating in one building. And the purpose for that is because it removes any type of additional cost for the charter school to transport the children to school, to pay for a building, to pay for lunch services, to pay for security, to pay for anything that is at that particular school already, they do not have to pay for. So that takes away from more of our tax dollars. That's just the bottom line. Yeah. It is a list. It is what it is. So again, I do want to put out there that for those that don't know the information, don't be so quick to denounce that what we're saying is not, has no truth, because it looks bad. It looks bad when you do that. It looks bad when you could have took the time and Googled it as educators to find out the information for yourselves. We have no reason to make it up. I don't think there's been anything that we have publicly said for the many of years that we've been doing this that was just reckless and egregious just to make something else. We don't do that. That's not something we do.
We are research-based. We are evidence-based, fact-based. We the opposite of what the people with the red hat do. We know how to get evidence. We know how to cite sources, because it's important, because if the information is going out and being shared, you need to share what's factual. You need to share what's correct. Because, I mean, also, too, anybody come back and tell us yet, oh, you wrong, or you lie, you didn't know. I wish you would, because you can't. Because we're researching this information to give to you. Our purpose and our goal, again, is to educate the public, educate the children, to give you information that is useful to you, and that's helpful to you, that is going to help you and your family grow. We want to, we care about the children. The bottom line is the children.
That's the only line. The bottom, the final, the line. So again, yes. So just please be mindful of that. And again, I would say a pause was taken on my behalf for this week right here for me to be able to, enjoy myself, my week, my day, whatever it may amount to for me. So now we're back on track. There were a few individuals that reached out to say they would like to be a part of the conversation as it relates to getting this information out to the community. So we will spiral, wrap back around to Amy Marie and Damaris, which are for Florida Public Florida Strong Public Schools, and be able to, begin to have that dialogue. We need to begin having those conversations in the community, because it's happening whether we're ready or not. It's going to happen. So, and also, Connie Burton, she reached out as well in response to my reach out to her to say, hey, how do we begin to, provide this information to the families of those schools that have been identified as they're going to be a school that has to co-locate in the event that the Hope schools have, decide to say we're going to go ahead and plant our seed here and begin to grow to where we almost smother the that's what they're doing. Let me be quiet.
That's what they're doing. And we also we all know the majority of those schools that are going to be within the East Tampa area, they're going to be, as they call it, low-performing schools or low-enrollment schools. So we also know with 200 churches in the Tampa Bay area, can the pastors come to the front and have the conversation? Can we start putting information out? We heard a term when we had a meeting over the break that was called minister. What was it called? A minister of social... Or what was
social, It's the social justice ministry. And there's supposed to be so many churches that have this ministry.
Yes.
Go ahead, on Denise, to say that you reached out. Go ahead.
I have reached out to several of them. I have sent the information. We're going to go ahead and share, repost our video. I have it pinned to my page, but I'm going to go ahead and pin it to my other pages as well. Giving you information about what the Schools of Hope are planning to do and this co-location. And we would like to come in, and we want to talk to all of these congregation. If we don't talk to the congregation, can the pastors respond to the messages and let us know, hey, listen, this is information that needs to be shared to your congregation. Your children are in these schools and in these spaces. We need you to understand what's going to happen and whether the push out, how badly that push in might affect your child and your child's educational success. And think about it, if you're pushing a bunch of kids into a space that's already filled with kids, what's the impact on the teacher? What's the impact on the class size? What's the impact on all this other stuff? We got to have these conversations. So again, pastors that we've reached out to and those that have not responded, we're here. We're available for these conversations. Please respond. Thank you.
Most definitely. And remember, that used to be a place where, you know, that's where a lot of the information was disseminated to families, you know, from the pulpit, to be keep parents abreast of what was going on in the schoolhouse, you know, back then, the schoolhouse. Yes. So we have, it needs to be said. Long story short, we have to leave space for in those announcements, you know, church announcements about the pastor anniversary, the church anniversary, the field trips, you know, the building. We got to include what the education impact that's happening for our children. You know, everybody don't have that luxury to have a church housed in the inner city, then drive off into the gated communities, and then act as though they don't know what's happening. And then, you know, drive back in on Sunday where the church doors are, you know, locked up more than they are serving the people. And that is where we have arrived for a lot of our churches here in the inner city. Like, if you were to drive up 40th Street, I think I could count at least about 8 churches on 40th Street alone. 8 churches. And there are also these pastor coalitions that exist. And is there a voice in that space speaking to the things of education, public education for the children? Because if not, that needs to be there. Right. Like we continue to forget about the children holistically, but we want the children. We have an expectation for the children. Our children are spiraling because in most cases they just put in the back of the church on phones and tablets.
And I'm not But I will throw this in there too. I know that since COVID, one of the things I'm noticing is, remember, we are like, and it happened in my church. We had a humongous children's choir. All right. Prior COVID, once COVID kicked in and people weren't coming back to church, once they started trickling back to church, the children no longer came. Because if the parents didn't get up and bring those children to church, because we have to understand, I mean, they ain't riding the church bus by themselves, they're not driving themselves there. If the parents are not bringing them back, they're not coming back. So a lot of times right now, kids have slipped away from the forefront of people's mind because the churches are getting older in terms of the age of the church. The general audience of the congregation is older. So you're not even thinking about the children anymore. I'm like, it's so important. You understand, when everybody in here die off, all these 80 and 90 year olds die off, where are the young people to replace them? So are you thinking about them and their what's happening with them? Care about them socially, emotionally, educationally. You got to care about them in all aspects. So just because you don't see them, you need to put that information out there. And this is another way to also bring them and welcome them back into the church, because you're giving them weekly, and it should be weekly, some kind of educational update about what's happening to their schools in their communities. And it shouldn't just be about, okay, well, the report card time come around, this is once a quarter, we're going to celebrate the kids. No, what's happening right now? Hey, progress report, this school, these top 10 schools have a conference night this week. Because a lot of parents didn't even know until it passed. And wait a minute, if you put that information out there in the church announcement, these 5 schools have conference night this week. These has this week. Understand, we have an open house. We have a food pantry at this school this day. This day, we're giving out uniform. Send the stuff out there. Put it out there to the general congregation. And if you, I'm telling you, the information can pass down that way. Especially the elders will be quick to pass the information on. And that's all I'm getting off the soapbox.
Yep. And before we get off of it and, you know, wrap it up in a nice pretty bow, shame on us as the adults that have not taken more interest in our children as it relates into the religious spaces. Shame on us. Yeah. Shame. I'll just say on us, because in the end, we have a responsibility to do so. We have a responsibility, and shame on those that have the spaces to be able to, you know, embrace our youth, because, you know, we say that, you know, we use that saying, train up a child, da 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 da. But in the end, half of us, you know, we keep our doors locked away from the children, don't want them there. Hell, we won't even have their funerals there for the families, because we don't want them to come smell like a little weed. Don't bring up the gang activity there. You know, they too. Look, let me leave that alone. I'm going to leave that alone because, you know, again, we buy up whole blocks. And then, like, again, we drive off in our gated, and then we come back and say, we worshiping. Worshiping what? Anyway, so again, quick reminder, this Thursday is the Excellence in Education Award ceremony. You know, I will be there along with a lot of my friends and my close friends and some family, you know, because I have a small family. And again, let's just put this out here. It was a great experience just to be nominated as a finalist. You know, the win would be great. And if it don't win, I already won, because, you know, I'm almost coming out this thing, you know. my time has been served well, and I know what I have done over the years collectively with the support of friends, colleagues, as it relates to meeting the needs of children in and outside of school. Because, again, it's always been about them, and the focus will continue to be that. Correct. So, you know, again, you know, the win would be great, but if not, congratulations, you know, to all that were nominated. So with that being said, our next,
let's see, our next show date is February 15th.
February 15th, and that's the day after good old, the Valentine's Day. So,
that's when candy is extra cheap. So that's all I do. Candy half price on the 15th.
Say, go get the candy. Go get the candy. So definitely remember to always keep children at the center of all conversations and decisions that are being made that you know, are in alignment with adult life, because again, it trickles down and impacts them either whether we want to accept it or not. It impacts them in some type of way. And yeah, we thank you all for joining us again for another session of diversity and equity and include equity and education. But I only got tired again, y'all. I know. It's cold tomorrow. And we thank our host, Bianca Guzzi with Teacher for the Culture. And again, we got so many things that's coming up this year, and we're excited. And yeah, that's all we got. Anything you want to close out with, Denise?
No, that's it. Just continue to read. That's all I can keep on encouraging everyone to do. And have a wonderful evening, everybody.
Build a library.
Bye. Yes.